Welcome to The Woodshed with Cody Wood on the Equus Radio Network, where some amazing guests stop in, share their stories, and have a few laughs along the way. From the rodeo road to everyday life, it's all part of the ride. Here's your host, Cody Wood.
Welcome. Here we are again, day number two, round two of the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo, and another day here with The Woodshed and Cody Wood on the Equus Radio Network. So welcome, everybody. For those of you watching us around the world, we're right here in the bright lights of Las Vegas, and I've got some more great folks with us here today. So folks, going to start things off, going to bring in the team at Tartar Gate Company outside of Kentucky. Guys, it's great to have you here. Austin Larimore, Stephen Frazier, Anthony Barrett. I appreciate you guys being here, and just been a good day to get things started, and looking forward to learn a little bit more about Tartar. But so guys been around since 1945, got all kinds of different products when it comes to equestrian, cattle, fencing, gates, stalls, got a lot going on, not only just in the Western world, but the equestrian world as a whole. And appreciate you guys being here and bringing us the episode.
Likewise, thanks for having us.
Yeah, so when you look at, kind of some of the things that y'all been working on over the last, few years and some of the projects that you've been working on, here we are, got one of the greatest bullfighters in the world. We're going over to the Ultimate Bullfighters Last Man Standing. That's a prime example of a partnership that could possibly have some of the strongest material in fencing and in different gates and different things like that. Tell us a little bit about, Tartar and kind of what separates you from some of the others.
Yeah, so Tartar, we're celebrating our 80th year anniversary this year. We actually started out as a sawmill. And so then over time, we evolved into animal confinement, animal feeding, started manufacturing stock tanks as well for watering, and then launched an implement and attachment lineup as well, where we do a lot of OEM manufacturing and manufacturing for retail. So we do pride ourselves on a very wide assortment of products. And then over the last couple of years, we identified rodeo and kind of the Western lifestyle as an area that we hadn't focused on, with a great opportunity in front of us, because our products fit well in that space. And so that's ultimately how we got introduced to Austin. We started talking probably 2 or 3 years ago, as we were kind of looking at how we could get into this space more efficiently and get some industry knowledge and expertise. And so Austin and I got introduced, and we've created a pretty good partnership over the last couple of years, and excited to where we're at now, but certainly excited about where we're going.
Yeah, it really is a good partnership, especially when you look at what Shoot Help brings to the table from the roping side of things, and then what you all had in place with the rough stock side of things in general. And the brand has been around for a long time. It's been awfully strong. It's anonymous here, with inside our world. And when you look at some of the different projects that you're working on, whether it's, large equestrian facilities and the stalls and the size of stalls and the quality of stalls that you provide, here with Equus TV, we've got a tremendous amount of viewership on the East Coast, Western Europe, that you've got some of the nicest horses that you'll ever come across, and a nice home and a good stall is a good place for them to hang out.
Certainly.
It absolutely is. Yep. And so when you're looking at Tartar and you're looking at, some of the different areas that, some of these consumers could find Tartar, where's one of the best places that they might be able to go and learn a little bit more about it or purchase Tartar in general?
Yeah, so we sell through all the large retailers in the U.S. and then certainly all the way down to the smaller mom and pops and co-ops as well. So we have product in all lower 48 states. We also have product in Canada as well. And so your typical Tractor Supplies, the mid-state type accounts, Lowe's, Home Depot are all Tartar retailers for us. And then also the OEMs carry a lot of our products as well under their branding.
Gotcha. And Anthony, you've been with the company for a good little while now?
Yep, just under 2 years.
Good deal. Well, and it's, it seems like you guys are on a growth pattern right now, and the expansion and the opportunity just to, combine efforts here with Shoot Help and being here in Las Vegas, and around, here there's just thousands and thousands of different people and getting that in front of you. It comes to, the rodeo side of things now and what that opportunity might look like with this group. I guess, where do you see the future of Tartar headed, and what does that bring to the table for you guys from a whole?
Well, I think as Stephen said, so there isn't a store in this space that doesn't carry Tartar products. Right? And so we're across those markets. And what we really focused on, especially with the Shoot Help partnership, is how can we spend that time into more big projects, right? So across the equestrian centers in the United States, whether it's eventing or whether it's roping, how do we help build out those projects and bring the scale that we brought to the rest of the business to there? So whether it's pet containment or feeding or stalls, we have the capability to do it. And what we do is we customize it on scale. So So we've been actively getting involved in a lot of big projects across the United States to be able to support the bids that are out there. And we bring that scale to it. So same high quality and on time.
Yeah, and you mentioned the pet containment too. We hadn't even gotten into that yet, you know, and the opportunities that you have there and from a domesticated standpoint, if you will, and obviously the homes that could utilize that and what that brings to the table. You know, it's not just a gate company anymore like it was back in 1945. You guys have really grown and done a lot of great things over the last, you know, decades. And now here, Austin, over here, you know, you guys have such a great presence over at the South Point, the World Series of Roping, and, you know, Shoot Help being one of the greatest roping attributes that you can bring to a table when it comes to your roping arena at home. And now having the opportunity to work with a great company like Tartar. I mean, how's that impacted you at Shoot Help?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been great. So my grandfather and I started Shoot Help in 2011. And when we started it, like all we knew was that we wanted to build something that was different and that was good and that helped people do what we love to do, which was roping. And when we designed that, our first product, which is the fully automatic Shoot Help, I guess we didn't realize the impact that it would have on team roping. And then we fast forward to now. The one thing that we needed, that we were missing, was time. We haven't been here very long, and we needed access to the stores. And so then this partnership, like Steven said, started to form, and it's been great. Now we're in front of many more people, many more stores, which brings on more customers. But I also think that, you know, Shoot Help, we understand rodeo and we understand those sorts of things. We understand horses. And I think that having Tartar's product line combined with ours, we're now able to go after those projects, like Anthony said. So whether it's going to be, you know, team roping or it's a full on rodeo or bullfight, we've got a product for everybody in that space. But then it's not limited to that. There's all the eventing and all the hunter jumper events, things like that. We've got stalls that'll fit those folks. So it's really helped us, you know, become more broad across more disciplines.
Yeah, it really has, just in a well-rounded portfolio now, you know. And you know, I just absolutely love your guys' story too, you know, getting started with your grandfather like you did, and then what you've been able to take it to now, you know, and to watch your growth specifically just over there, just, you know, here at the NFR and at the South Point every year, it's evident that you guys have been doing things the right way, man. And I sure do, you know, appreciate you guys being here. I'm looking forward to a great day. So like I said, we're getting ready to head on over here in a little bit, go over to the Ultimate Bullfighter and check out some of the coolest animals that you'll ever come across here with some of these great fighting bulls, and get to see some extraordinary athletes as well. But when you're talking about the fighting bulls and you know, the ability to contain some of these fire breathing dragons, if you will, you know, I mean, it's going to be good. I can't wait to kind of get your perspective of keeping these great bulls contained.
You know, we were laughing about it this morning. We are the largest outdoor kennel producer in the United States, in Dunnville, Kentucky, right? So we make over 150,000 outdoor kennels in 26. And now, as we go and see the bullfighting, you know, how do we contain all of those animals? And so it's an interesting story.
It should be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great time. And so, folks, you know, there it is, you know, Tartar, Shoot Help. These are some great companies, great products. I know I got a lot of Team Pennant, a lot of Ranch Sorting followers as well. If you're looking for any sort of stalls, gates, you know, panels, anything you might need with inside, you know, rodeo and just equestrian cattle equipment, there is no better place to look here than with Tartar and Shoot Help. So at this time, guys, you know, I'm going to want to, you know, kind of swap things out here, bring in, you know, one of our special guests here as we look to really highlight one of the best events in all of Las Vegas over this next week. And that's none other than the Ultimate Bullfighters and the Last Man Standing. So, guys, thank you so much for being here. Looking forward to having a great day with you and you know, getting to learn a little bit more about Tartar and experiencing the Ultimate Bullfighter.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Well, folks, now as they make a quick transition, got a special guest for you here today. It doesn't get much better than this when it comes to rodeo, Western sports, and that sort of thing. So you've heard us talk about, you know, Ultimate Bullfighting and the, one of the great associations that's inside Western sports. And obviously you got a great connection there with the PBR and different things like that. But when you're talking about bringing it to the table and bringing this sport to a whole nother level, it doesn't get much better than the next guest we have here. So it's kind of take things on over. Folks, this is none other than your five-time PRCA Bullfighter of the Year, Cody Webster. Cody, thank you so much for being here.
I'm excited to be here, man.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate you. Casey Decker, Austin Larimore, thank you guys for being here. Like I said, we talked about what this could do, you know, for the sport. I cannot wait to get into the last man standing. All right. So when you're looking at Western sports and having to be creative, be a little bit more progressive when it comes to growing this thing, folks, we're talking about a 32-man bracket that will break things down head-to-head competition. And so round one last night, or the first set of the 32-man bracket was last night. And just that in itself really made a few things a little bit different. And so when you're looking at it, Cody, yesterday, when you had a head-to-head like that and the second guy coming in knew what score he had to be, that really raised the level of competition, I felt like. How did you think about it?
Man, it does. It really, you know, that the heads-up matches is just something that's kind of gotten more popular within the last year or two, you know. And I think it's easier for the fans to follow. I think it's easier for just your common knowledge. You know, you've got a winner, you've got a loser. But like you said, when a guy goes out, he knows he has to put it on the line. He has to get all the points he can get out of the fight because the next guy up, he knows what he has to beat. So, you know, yesterday was a lot of action, man. We had some good young rookies that was out that had to deal with some flatline fighting bulls that really, really brought the heat. These bulls really fought. So there was a lot of wild, crazy moments yesterday. But then you jump into the bull games, you know. Guys, they're playing Jenga, you know. They're playing the ring toss. Everything that goes into these games that we're playing now really makes for a family-friendly entertainment and something that the whole family can come enjoy. You don't have to worry about what the kids are seeing. You know, they're going to enjoy the action. Bullfighting, freestyle bullfighting is exploding. It's growing as we go. So, man, to be right here in the middle of it and in Las Vegas, don't get any better than that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right, the games piece of it, you know, just even what y'all are doing at Cowtown on a, you know, weekly basic, basically, it really does. It brings a new attribute to the sport. It gives the opportunity to get the crowd involvement and then obviously simplifies things for folks that might not understand freestyle bullfighting and might have just, you know, a prerequisite of what in their mind of what it might look like. The other thing that I wanted to bring up because it showed out yesterday and I had a feeling that it would going in there and I was so excited to watch the tournament style. But not only did you know what the score was going in, but then if somebody knew that they had to be a certain score and maybe it was reachable, but maybe they took a dirty hook in right towards the end where they typically might wave the white flag, they didn't have the choice to do that. They had to,
they had
to make one more pass out and it showed out yesterday.
Yes, I mean the sell, so to say, you know, when that 30-second whistle goes off, you've got the additional 20 seconds to get that high point. And so we did see a lot of guys either go with the front flip, go with just a traditional cross jump, you know, whatever it takes to get up and over those bulls. But when the bulls have been to town, they know the game. They know what they're doing. They become very, very smart to the sport that they're playing. And if you don't think these things are athletes, hey, come buy a ticket and come check it out because these bulls, they know what they're doing.
Yeah, they do, and they were rolling yesterday too.
Woo!
You know, they were fast. So, and then tell us a little bit about some of those the bulls that you bring in for the games. Now, those are heifers, right?
Yeah. So we kind of split it up because playing the games, you know, the guys, obviously the competition is where, you know, they're going for over $168,000. The winner leaving here in Las Vegas is going to have a $50,000 check in his pocket, but for the entertainment, the show purposes, and for these guys competing within that, you know, let's not beat around the bush here. When the bull gets a hold of you, they break bones. You know, there's no doubt about it. Yeah. So we kind of want to incorporate the cows and the heifers that are just as mean, just as fast, but they just don't have the muscle mass that the bulls have. So when they hit you, hey, don't get me wrong, they're still going to make you bleed. They're still going to have you scratched up and feeling the pain. But as far as a bull hitting you and a cow hitting you, you know, you don't have as much abuse there. So it allows these guys to kind of solace, maybe let it hang out a little bit more, maybe take a chance to win the game. And, man, it's been a really cool deal. You know, being in Fort Worth each week, the tourist is what Cowtown is. That's what the main thing, the main draw. So you're taking people that has never seen our sport, has never seen a fighting bull, has never seen a rodeo clown or a bullfighter, and coming into the Cowtown Coliseum weekly, it's just amazing how drawn in and how intense the crowd gets into this. It's been fun.
It really is. And to your point, like kind of where we're going to, you know, a lot of these folks might have a preconceived notion of you know, Spain or, you know, fighting bulls and bulls and all that. Yeah. So that's why I absolutely love it. Because I mean, myself being in
There's no swords. There's no caves. Exactly. There's no, the only abuse that you're going to see is what the bullfighter's taking. Because, I mean, let's be honest, you got a 16, 14, 1500 pound bull that is very, very good with his tools. His tools is his horns.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's not going to be anything going. If somebody's hurting, leaving arena, it's the bullfighters.
No doubt. And when I look at it, too, as our sport as a whole, right, just the rodeo world, Western sports world, and the ability to grow and create more cowboys, sell more cowboy hats, sell more horses, that sort of thing. Yes. In my mind, freestyle bullfighting is one of the best conduits that there absolutely is to get into those certain demographics. You know, it's, you know, it might take a second to pick up a rope, learn how to rope it, you know, and use that. But there's an athlete's an athlete.
Yes.
And you're a prime example of that. One of the greatest athletes put on a pair of cleats, and the ability to bridge that gap, you know, is extremely high in freestyle bullfighting. And what you guys have been doing is creating that opportunity.
Yes. So, I mean, we've got the schools, we've got, you know, the Toro tune-up camps, the bull schools, you know, we're bringing in people that's may have never even seen a bull, but was a great college athlete, was a great, you know, either a wrestler or a, you know, a great football player, soccer player. You know, we've got guys coming out of Brazil, Mexico, Australia. So, like, I mean, the demographic's huge of the people that we're reaching. And they've never fought a bull. But when they get through at the camp, we give them the fundamentals. We show them, you know, the ins and outs of what it takes. But being an athlete is number one. And then they can kind of pursue and go on with that. And to see guys have the opportunity that, you know, was a great, you know, high school athlete that maybe got to go to, you know, a smaller college and maybe play for 2 or 3 years, you know, then they're kicked out. And they're still great athletes, but they just didn't get to make the next level. You know, that's the people we're looking for, because the opportunity, the money, being in Las Vegas, just we're expanding, we're growing. I mean, we've it's insane how quick, you know, the UBF is just rolling. So I'm excited, man. Today's going to be a huge day for us. We've got it's kind of strange how everything played out, but, you know, all the bullfighters, the top 32 guys, all went into a hat and was drawn what rounds and what guys they go against. There's no seeding, there's no putting, gotcha, you know, your number one guy against the rookie and then your number two guy. They all went in the pot, they all come out. So, like, today is going to be pretty epic because how it all played out, we've got our top guns going against our top guns today.
So, oh, really?
There's going to be some high scores. I think you're going to see some insane tricks, flips. I'm excited. I'm ready to get over there and see it.
Yeah, exactly. Because they're going to have to, like I said, they're going to know their score coming in.
Yes.
And so, Casey, when you're looking at it from a production standpoint and what it brings to the crowd and just walking in there. So, folks, if you're in Las Vegas and you're looking for something, there is no better thing to do during the day than go to the Last Man Standing UBF. But, you know, the setup, the ambiance for the crowd, I mean, it is set up for a party, a good time, and they're having fun over there.
No, it's a great setup. And the thing that a lot of people don't understand is, like, when we put these things together, what we want to do is make sure that it is specific to people that, you know, like you said, bridging the gap. We aren't worried about people that have, you know, we are worried about people that have been to rodeos and done things like that. But the biggest thing is trying to grow the sport. So the way that you grow the sport is bringing people in. So, for example, I had guys that we met on the train the other day, and they were here for another convention. They showed up yesterday. I told them about it. They showed up yesterday. They waited for me to walk out, and as soon as they got out, they said that was the greatest thing we've ever seen. They said, you told us it was awesome, and you told us it was the best show that you could do for the money in Las Vegas. They said, this is the best thing. We're coming tomorrow.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's awesome, right? Like, you get people that have never heard anything about this. They ask us, what are you guys doing? When they tell you, you know, they're like, what are you guys doing here? Like, are you guys cowboys? What are part of you this? And we're like, well, what we're doing. And I explained to them what the bullfighting is and, you know, how the production of things work. And I said, it's the greatest show for the amount of money you can go to and see in Las Vegas. And they showed up and they told me yesterday, they literally waited outside the door for me to walk out. And I walked out and they said, we're buying a ticket tomorrow. We're coming tomorrow. Yeah. And that's, and they have never seen anything like this before. Like, never seen a rodeo, never seen anything, right? And they said, this is the best thing we've ever seen. We're so excited for tomorrow. We'll be there tomorrow.
And it's all 10 days, right? I mean, there's a little break right for the PBR. That
well, even with the PBR days, you know, they're going to, so on those days, you're going to get to see top bull riding and bullfighting all combined into one show, be with the PBR. So like I said, you're getting the best of both worlds. So you're just a bull riding fan. You're still going to get to see bullfighting. If you're just a bullfighting fan, you're going to get to see some bull riding too. So it's going to be a great day. All 10 days, 1:30 each day at the Resorts World. It's a climate controlled huge tent. I mean, yesterday the wind was blowing. It was a little chilly outside. I walked inside. I had to take my vest off.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it was really, really nice in there. Good seating. And you're anywhere that you sit in the tent, you do not have a bad seat. You're in the action. You're good chance you're going to get dirt through on you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's set up perfectly for that.
But this is a funny story. So yesterday we had some people sitting next to us, right? And we're sitting there and we were hosting some people, and this lady, her and her husband were sitting next to me. And every time a bull would come up, she'd reach down and grab my leg. And she spilled her drink on me a little bit. And I was like, it scared me every single time because the bull would come up and I'm just sitting there watching, you know. But she'd reach down and grab my leg and she'd spill her drink on me. And I was like, and she's like, I'm so sorry. And her husband's like, quit grabbing him. it was funny, you know, but it was good because that's how you know that people are engaged, because it's something that keeps them engaged with it and keeps it to where people are, you know, they're excited. No, and that, you know, there's action. That's what they told me last night. They said, you know, this was the best thing we've been to because it's action packed and you can go watch a movie for an hour and a half or 2 hours and you might fall asleep because the movie's boring, right? Like it might not be what you're looking for, but this is 100% action packed. There's nothing.
Man versus beast.
Yeah. There's nothing.
What more can you ask?
Yeah. And it's not like, and I mean,
close to the gladiator.
Yeah. Literally, if you had a lion out there, it still wouldn't be as bad as having a fighting bull. So
I agree.
It's not something that you can think about where, oh yeah, you know, it is man versus beast, but like these animals, what I tell everybody, like they will kill you and not eat you. There are a lot of animals on this planet that would kill you and eat you, like lions, tigers, things like that. These will kill you and just walk away and go lay in the grass and have a good night. You know what I'm saying?
Like they are.
It's something that's it's a different beast, right?
Like
so
they're extreme athletes.
Like extreme athletes.
And looking at it too, you know, I got to mention, you know, so Cody, like, you know, a lot of these viewers, a lot of the rodeo world would know you as a, you know, 5-time bullfighter of the year, know you as, you know, NFR qualifications, the PBR qualifications. But when you're inside here, I think when you look at the impact that you've had on these younger bullfighters and then what that has done and trickled down that will impact this sport for generations, I think is going to be, honestly, your legacy in that sense, right?
And it's
– and you look at – so Frank Newsom, right? That's where a lot of your stuff came from and then what you've done there. But, you know, I'd like for you to hit on just because, you know, I see it all the time and it resonates and I just appreciate it as a rodeo fan in general. You know, you got some great talent around the house, you know, and the future is looking awfully bright, huh, from a bullfighting perspective, freestyle and cowboy protection.
Man, it's amazing just there at the ranch. Like we've, you know, obviously we breed and raise these kind of animals. So, like, we've got access to that. We've got a facility. We've got everything that we need in order to pursue and get better. And that was always kind of my dream growing up, is I wanted to have basically my own playground that I could go fight bulls at and get better and become the best, you know. And every day that's what we're striving for. So like on any given Tuesday, there can be as many as 12 bullfighters at the ranch. And we'll work out together, we train together, and then we go out, we load practice cattle, we'll fight and train in the arena. And man, it's just really cool to have all those young guys coming around, because I feel like it kind of helps keep me leveled up, keeps me pursuing and wanting to get better. And you know, I'm 23 years into bullfighting. I was 15 years old, sneaking out of class, sneaking to the airport and flying to North Carolina for the Ultimate Bullfighters. And, you know, and it's been a long time ago, man, talking 17 years ago. So it's cool to see it coming around, seeing it getting so popular again, man, because when you see a guy truly dance with a bull that wants nothing to do but to mess him up, and you can see a guy almost make it almost be like an art form of like it's like a drawing or something or a painting that's so beautiful out there, because it is literally man versus beast, you know? So like, it's cool, man. And these guys are, they're really leveling up. They're doing stuff that I really don't even think I can do, you know, the flips and everything. And it's just cool because, man, to me, the sky's the limit, you know, yeah. It really is. So it's been really neat to be right in the center of all this and breeding, raising the bulls. And now we're hauling the bulls and training all these young guys and doing the schools, man. It's a lot of cool stuff going on.
Yeah. And that sets up exactly where I wanted to go next too, because when you look at the past and where you came from and yourself and being on the biggest stage, you know, in rodeo and showing your guys' skill set last night, right? Retro night, you know, bringing back the 1985 bullfights. And I mean, you know, Tuckness, Austin, and the Barrel Man Dusty. I mean, you guys put on a clinic last night and showed the sport from such a positive light. I thought, you know, I mean, it was one of the highlights of my night.
And
I truly love it. So it's no brainer, but it was awesome.
Man, it's buzzing. It's really buzzing. I woke up this morning and flipped my phone on, and I mean, I've got 100 messages. There's Instagram, Facebook. Like, there's just so much people pouring it out that absolutely love what we did last night. And, you know, and that was my first time to fight bulls since July. You know, I ended up taking a really bad shot in May and completely exploded my shoulder. So I had to get through July. I went to Cheyenne, was my last rodeo, and then I had reconstructive surgery. So like last night was really my very first competition bulls back, you know, and man, the adrenaline was pumping. Like, I ain't had that feeling in a long time, you know, some butterflies flying. And by the time the perf got over, like I had to sit down and take a breath, because like it literally, the emotions, just the adrenaline flow, the pump, it was a good night. But, you know, people loved it, man. And I think it really, you know, it was kind of neat how it all worked out, because not only do we have the UBF bullfights going on, the last man standing, but to see it in the Thomas and Mac last night, you know, it's really got it buzzing. So tell you what, if you don't have your tickets today, I feel sorry, you may not get one.
I know it. And so before we get things going, I mean, is there, when you're looking at the matchups today or even the matchups throughout the week, is there, or, you know, just being around these guys all the time, is there one person over the other or somebody you think might be keeping an eye on?
Man, I tell you what, it's, like I said, it almost seems like all our big guns are out today. Ja'Cory Golden, DeKevis Jordan, and then you've got the Pecorni brothers, two kids
that's awesome.
out of Nebraska that are as just gritty and tough as they come.
Yeah.
Seeing Coy and Dane out there yesterday playing the game. So they decided, hey, we're in Las Vegas, we might as well be in action. So they got in the games yesterday and was playing in games, and they took some huge shots.
Yeah.
But they get up, they dust their cowboy hats off, and they go right back to it. Those two kids have got so much talent, to see them. And like I said, they're both out today, which is pretty crazy, but it's just how everything drawled up for them. But man, it's going to be a straight up dogfight.
Yeah. And honestly, DeKevis, he must be warmed up too, because that was about as clean of a flip and move.
I've never seen anything like that.
Huge front flip. He's, you know, DeKevis kind of took a little time off, and he's back in the game. And talk about an athlete that went on to play college football that you know, has done so much through that deal. To see him back in the game is going to be really good. And he can do backflips, front flips, side flips, twists with a tuck.
The funny thing about that is yesterday I told him, I said, I've never seen anybody do a front flip like that, like literally in person, let alone over the top of a bull. He said, you just wait till tomorrow, Case.
Yep.
I said, oh, geez.
Exactly.
I said, I don't even know what I'm going to look for tomorrow. Like, that was unreal. That was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. So.
It was a great first day. And so Austin getting a chance to go to your first ultimate bullfight and here at the last man standing, I mean, a perfect opportunity to check it out firsthand. I mean, looking forward to seeing it.
I absolutely am, because, and I don't mean to bring the energy down, but I team rope, and I didn't realize.
Hey, we were a little bit.
I didn't realize that.
I don't like to say this to most people, but I can rope really good because his dad taught me how to rope. Because we were neighbors, and his dad won the average at the NFR twice. So he taught me how to rope as a kid, and we grew up together. So, like,
pretty cool.
Yeah, which is awesome to have somebody that you can grow up with, and he ropes better than most of the guys at the NFR probably. But he's
so my rough stock career ended pretty quickly. It was Brett Casey. I was just riding a steer. He's like, "Come on, get on. This will be fun." Sure enough, I'm riding, and the steer promptly goes to the biggest mud hole in the arena, and that's where I get dumped. Covered in mud, and I'm still getting laughed at to this day. But that's where it ended. So, but yeah, the team roping world is—it's not nearly as dangerous or maybe as exciting. But I know that there's other events out there, right? And I really respect that. And the bullfighting is—I've been to just a couple of them, but I love the fact that it's growing, and I'm really excited to see it. You know, and from the equipment standpoint. Circling back to that, these guys are mentioning that it's the toughest animals and the most vicious animals on the planet. Well, we build the equipment that'll contain them and, you know, keep everybody safe, animal and man. So, you know, we're going to see where we fit in there as well.
That's awesome. Going to be a good day. It's going to be a fantastic day. And Cody, thank you again so much for being here, man. I can't thank you enough. And just the opportunity to showcase, you know, the bullfighting world, you know, I mean, as an announcer, you know, I say it almost 99% of the time, you know, when the bull riding get ready to start, you know, I mention that one of the greatest aspects of all of rodeo is cowboy protection bullfighting.
Right.
And you not only did the freestyle last night, but the cowboy protection was off the hook as well. And you know, just appreciate everything you've done here for the rodeo world. But, you know, so good luck with round number two tonight. Do you know what pins out tonight?
I think tonight's going to kind of be your top end bulls.
That's,
you know,
thought,
it's,
yeah,
it's the last night was kind of your warm up bulls that, and warm up, they're 89. Yeah. I don't know how much warming up they're going to need, but it's going to be a great set of bulls. And man, and I tell you what, did we ride 8 bulls last night?
Yeah,
they rode 8 bulls last night for round number one. These guys are on
fire.
They're
hungry. They're hungry right now. Yeah. They're hungry.
And
they want to do it.
Not a better place to be because they're paying them over $30,000 a night.
Yeah.
So look out.
Yeah, for sure. Well, folks, thank you so much again for joining us here at the Woodshed with Cody Wood on the Equus Radio Network. We're live here in the Virgin Hotel. But if you are in Vegas, there is no better place to be at 1:30 every single day than Resorts World over here with the Ultimate Bullfighters, getting ready to watch the last man standing, the biggest payout in freestyle bullfighting history. I mean, it is off the hook, fantastic action. No better place to be, and you can get a chance to see one of the best people that's ever put on a pair of cleats and Cody Webster here tonight in round number two. So, folks, thank you so much again. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning as we have another fantastic guest tomorrow. A little something in store for you, a little bit different than rodeo, but it's a big time guest we've got tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock. Thank you all once again. Cody, thank you again for being here.
Thank you, sir.
Again, thanks so much to Tartar, Shoot Help. We'll see y'all tomorrow for round number three.
If you enjoyed the podcast, let us know. Contact Cody Wood at Cody@EquusTelevision.net. Thanks for listening. And join us every week right here on the Equus Radio Network.